Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We invite our attention now to the third chapter of the book of Romans, and we'll begin our discussion with verses 5 and 6. Prior to this, the Apostle Paul has been emphasizing how that mankind, Jew and Gentile, both need salvation. And this was before the time of Christ, of course. This was when the Jew was under the law of Moses. This was when the Gentile was living properly under the patriarchal systems. And he brings about the fact that both Jew and Gentile need salvation because they were both guilty of violating the law under which they were accountable, and therefore they were sinners in the sight of God. And this aroused God's anger and wrath against them, and he condemned the sins of mankind. Well, this brought about some thinking on the part of some. Well, it's almost unthinkable that they would think what they thought. But the Apostle Paul brings about the fact that the Jew and the Gentile, they misunderstood their relationship with God. That the Jew, because they were circumcised, they thought that made them special because they were superior. No, that wasn't it at all. They were special because God was going to use them to serve all of humanity. The Messiah would come through the Jewish nation. And the Gentile, though they were not circumcised, if they obeyed the law, they would have been acceptable before God. But they didn't obey the law either. In the very first part of the book, we learned how degenerate they had become by following their own way rather than following the ways that God had taught them to follow. But now the Apostle Paul brings out the fact that there were certain benefits and profits for the Jew in their service on the behalf of God. And therefore, the Jew was the one that through whom the prophecies and the prophets had been made the oracles of God. Well, what did it mean for them to be a Jew? A Jew simply meant one that was in a special relationship with God, not because of being a physical descendant of Abraham. But this caused some people to think that God was unjust in condemning the wicked, because if the wicked brought about the necessity of the plan of salvation, well, to glorify the plan of salvation, we ought to sin more, and it would cover all that sin. In verse 5, Paul says, "But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance?" And he says, "I speak as a man." But then he adds, "God forbid, may it not be so, for then how shall God judge the world?" Now, when Paul speaks of the righteousness of God, he's talking about what is the theme of the book of Romans, God's system, God's plan for saving man. Now, the unrighteousness of man, both Jew and Gentile, brought about this great plan, or made necessary this great plan that God designed even before the foundation of the world, the book of Ephesians teaches us. The sins of the Jews, as well as the sins of the Gentiles, they had proven the need for God's plan. But Paul asked, if by man's sins, and they've shown and proven the value and the necessity and the worthiness of God's plan to save, then why does God punish men? Well, at first glance, some seem to be so confused that God ought to really reward them for their sins rather than punish because of sins, because their behavior had assisted in establishing the validity of his plan. Paul says, "I speak as a man." This is the kind of reasoning that some men might and do speak. But this was not according to God's thinking. He says, "God forbid." Friend, Paul reasons, if God could not condemn sin, how could he judge the world? How could God be God if he could not condemn that which was evil? And he asks that question in another way in verse 8, here in verse 7. For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? Well, the truth of God did abound, and it did abound because of the lie of man. However, God is not honored by man's sin, and sin does not honor God's plan. Sin makes necessary God's plan. And in verse 8 he continues, "And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and of some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just." This idea of doing evil that good may come, this idea that man should sin and that will glorify God's plan of salvation all the more, indeed, that is abominable in the sight of Almighty God. The principle of doing evil does never find any justification, even if somewhere along the line some good might result. The idea of doing evil that good may come is once and for all repudiated by inspiration. Some, it seems, had slanderously reported and had affirmed that Paul had preached just such a false doctrine as that. He says their damnation is just. Their damnation was just because they had made a slanderous report against Paul. Paul never taught such a thing. And those who believed that idea, their damnation was just. No man's sins did not honor God's system of salvation. It made necessary God's system of salvation. And then Paul draws some conclusions here. What then? He's going to ask, in view of all that has been said, what can we understand? Are we, the Jew, better than they, the Gentile? No, in no wise. For we have before proved that both Jew and Gentile, they are all under sin. Now, that's been the message of the first 2.5 chapters of the book of Romans. The plan of salvation is given here in this book. The need for the plan is first emphasized by the Apostle Paul. And he says they're all under sin. And then he quotes, he said, it is written. He quotes a number of Old Testament passages. And these passages describe the deplorable spiritual condition of those who are in sin. He says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. Here was the problem. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, that's the condition of those who are separated from God, dear friend. Paul is pointing out their condition by quoting a number of Old Testament references from the book of Psalms. There were several passages from the book of Proverbs, from the book of Isaiah. And the thrust of all of this is that sin is a condition of both Jew and Gentile and makes this marvelous system of salvation so necessary. Then in verse 19 he says, now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now when Paul talks about the law, what does the law do? Why, it means that every mouth may be stopped. There's no use arguing against the law, not the law of God. The law of God is the law of God, and that's that. Sometimes people say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, that's not exactly accurate, friend. God said it, and that settles it, whether we believe it or not. But the end of the law is to define sin, is to show what sin is. In no case, however, could the law justify itself or justify sin, because it defined sin. It made sin known. And the law, when it is violated, makes one guilty of sin. But the law of Moses and the law under which the Gentiles lived, it didn't provide for justification and forgiveness. This is true only of the law of Jesus Christ. The law of Christ is the law by which men are saved. You see, the law of Moses and the law of the patriarchs, it only shows how man violates God's law. It doesn't show man the way of salvation for both Jew and Gentile. Man has to look somewhere else for his salvation rather than the two laws, that one for the Jew and one for the Gentile. And the one to which they look, as we shall learn later in this same chapter, is the law of Christ. The law of Christ is that system of part of God's system of salvation that men must obey. You see, the righteousness of God is without the law, is manifested, is being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, the law and the prophets of the past, they pointed to the coming of this system of God. But even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. It's important what we understand, that God treats the Jew and the Gentile alike. Now, it was true that for a while the Israelite nation was God's special nation, but special because of the way they were to serve all of humankind, that through them the Messiah was to come. And God has always dealt with man in that he must obey the law and will be judged according to the law under which he lived. But now we all live under the law of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God is God's plan for justifying man. Verse 27, as we get to it, is going to show us it's by the law of faith. It's by the faith of Christ. And that faith system includes man's necessity of obeying the law of Jesus Christ. Having shown that nobody can be justified by the law, there's laws that had previously existed. The Gentiles could not, the Jews could not, they could only show their guilt of sin. Having shown, therefore, we must look elsewhere for salvation, he begins to point out what all is involved and what all is included in this great scheme of redemption. In the next few verses of this chapter, Romans chapter 3, and when we begin with verse 23, we're going to see some of the glory of God in this system. We're going to see some of the components, some of the various things that help to make up and compose this system of salvation. We're going to see that it's not by any one thing alone, separate and apart from the other. And we're going to see that it doesn't make any difference whether one is a Jew or a Gentile. It's applicable and beneficial to all of humanity. Well, this will undertake our study from Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 23, next time. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd.